Thank you so much, Barb, for that good special number. Please take your Bible with me and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. So glad to see everyone here after Thanksgiving. I know a number of folks traveled. My family and I, we traveled all the way up to Minnesota, got in some nice Minnesota weather, and on the way back we said, thank God we live in Indiana, because they really had some weather up there. And those of you who feel the compulsion, the strange compulsion, to go to Florida, you live here in Indiana, but in the winter you go to Florida, listen, you'll be cured of that if you go to Minnesota for a week, okay? Then you'll realize how tropical it really is here in Indiana. You're in a tropical place. And we're so glad to be back, though, and had a good holiday, and I trust that you did as well. I don't normally wear this suit that I'm wearing on Sundays. I usually reserve it for Wednesday nights, but it was the one I could get into. And so, so you know I had a very happy Thanksgiving. Your Bibles are open to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin our reading at verse number 19. Now, let me give you a preview of something. Wednesday night, I'm going to be speaking on Christmas time. Now, I believe in celebrating Christmas. I personally believe in that. And I'm going to talk about that, though sometimes that's an issue. And I'll give you the exact words for the sign, Ken, later on. But sometimes that's an issue among Christian people. Should we celebrate Christmas? How much should we celebrate Christmas? I am not a Baptist Grinch, okay? I enjoy Christmas. There are some people that go overboard with it. But we're going to talk about, is it proper? What is the history behind this holiday we celebrate as Christmas? Was Jesus really born on December 25th? Oh, Pastor, everybody knows he wasn't. Don't be so sure. Let's just see some history and some facts. And I'm trying to bait you to come Wednesday night at, at 7 o'clock. So we're going to enjoy that. However, right the day after Thanksgiving, and really in some places right before Thanksgiving, we begin to make preparations for Christmas. And I'm going to talk about that this morning and focus our attention on things that are eternal rather than things that are temporal. Matthew chapter 6, let's look at verse number 19. Beginning at verse 19, Matthew 6 and verse 19. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." The word single means clear. "But if thine eye be evil or clouded, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or nor for yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature, to his height? And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'm going to take Matthew chapter 6 this morning for a few moments, and I'm going to give you some hints as to how you can have a truly happy holiday season. Now, the reason I'm preaching this message early on is this. Usually, by the time a week or two before Christmas, when I would normally preach a message like this, you have already blown it. And you have done some things, pardon me, that have made it miserable or will make it miserable when the bills come. Missouri. So I thought I would get a head start on this. In addition, when I was traveling, of course, I was traveling on over Thanksgiving holiday, and then all day on Friday, there was a big snowstorm, a good-sized snowstorm in Wisconsin, so it was difficult traveling, and we were in the car for 9 hours, what should have been maybe 5.5 hours, turned into a 9-hour trip in the car, and we were listening to Christmas carols, Christmas music on the radio. There is only so many times in a 9-hour span when anybody should have to listen to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, okay? Only so many times. And then that Spanish Christmas carol, Pastor Lopez, Feliz Navidad or something. If he was there to interpret for me, I could probably understand what it was saying. But all that time, and I thought to myself, then to visit the stores. By the way, let me ask you this, ladies. How many of you, I know the men didn't do this. How many, ladies, did you go shopping on Friday morning? How many did? Oh, okay, a few did. My wife really wanted to, but we just happened to be traveling. And what can you do? We did, however, on the road, we did pull over. We saw a big sign for Fleet Farm. Here in Indiana, it's called Farm and Fleet. How many know what I'm talking about? Do you know? Okay, it's like a tractor supply store on steroids. That's what it is. And boy, what a wonderful place to shop. They've got all kinds of manly things for Christmas. So if you ladies go to the Fleet Farm or the Farm and Fleet, whatever they call it here, that would be a wonderful thing. But I marveled at how early we celebrate Christmas. You remember that song that everybody sings but nobody likes to sing? It's called The 12 Days of Christmas and you wish it would get over with. Today, it appears that we have 31 days of Christmas and they've become commercialized. But here's what happens. For almost the span, really the span of about a month, people's whole way of thinking changes dramatically. And they end up both figuratively and in reality paying for it for the remainder of the year. And a time of the season that should be a time that turns people's minds toward eternity and toward God and toward Christ has become so clouded that the message is lost in all of the wrappings of the season. Now, here's what I want to challenge us as a church, and I'm getting the head start on this. This year, we as a church family need to make sure that in our celebrating of the holidays, which I think is completely legitimate, in our celebrating of the holidays, we do not forget Matthew chapter 6 and what Jesus said regarding the importance of eternity as opposed to the importance of time. And so this morning I'm going to try to give you 4 helpful holiday hints. All right, hint number 1, and I'll show you the scripture where it comes from. Hint number 1, don't become consumed with materialism. Number 1, pardon me, do not become consumed with materialism. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus was very plain. Now this scripture is not negated by the fact that it is Christmas. There is no time of year when we are to concentrate on laying up for ourselves material possessions. In fact, that is never to be the concentration of a Christian. Here's what happens at this time of year. We become dissatisfied by virtue of advertisement. A lot of this happens with young people, but it also happens with older folks. We become dissatisfied by virtue of the advertisements we see, and all of a sudden, if we're not careful, because we're bombarded by this, all of a sudden we will become dissatisfied with where we are in life. Now, folks, listen. The Apostle Paul said that we're having food and raiment. Let us therewith be content. In other words, we ought to find satisfaction in the basic things of life, not worrying about the things that we do not have. This entire season of the year is geared to bend everyone's mind toward materialism. Either what I'm going to get when I open my packages, or what I have to spend to make people happy. And that is a guaranteed recipe for misery during the holiday time. Well, but Pastor, have you seen the latest advertisement for the newest model of Chia Pet? I will be frank. No one in this room needs a Chia Pet. Now, I have never had one, and I probably would like to have one day. But Chia Pet is not high on my list of things that I need. And I'm going to be honest, if I don't get a Chia Pet for Christmas, I will shed no tears over it. It's not a need. Now, and I'm not criticizing those of you who've had Chia Pets and have nurtured them through one holiday season after another. I'm not criticizing you. But I'm saying there is no need in my heart for that item. I do not have a dissatisfied life because I'm looking for something I don't have. Translate that in some of the latest things. I was shocked and amazed to hear news reports of people. I'm not shocked and amazed that people would stand in line outside of a Walmart. I'm not shocked by that at all. That has almost become a cult in America. Walmart has. Oh, and I don't like Walmart. My eyes burn. Do your eyes burn when you go into a Walmart? At least that's what I always tell my wife. My eyes are burning. I've got to get out of here. My wallet starts to twitch nervously in my pocket, and it's just uncomfortable. So I have to leave. There were folks who stood in long lines at Walmart, and hey, if you were going to get a bargain, I've got nothing against getting a bargain. But in certain parts of the country, those lines turned into fist fights. God pity that mentality. Now, Pastor, they've only got three of those Xboxes, and there's 35,000 people in the parking lot. Your chances are pretty slim. You should have stayed in bed. Now, here's what happens. The tension, watch what I'm saying now. The tension mounts during the holiday season artificially because we get our minds off of eternity, and for this period of time, we focus on materialism. Right in the passage I just read, did you notice those verses that are there, verse 22, Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye? Why would he include that in a passage dealing with materialism? He included it because of this. The eye is that organ through which we covet. Now, the Bible teaches plainly that covetousness is sin. It is not wrong to window shop. It becomes wrong to window shop when we become consumed with a desire to have what we see in the window. When our eye is feeding a desire that cannot or will not be fulfilled. When our eye is used as that organ of the body to cause the heart to desire something more than God. And God actually gets put on the back burner. And folks, that happens a lot at Christmas time. God gets put on the back burner, then the eye is causing the soul trouble. Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. And if your eye is clouded, your body is full of darkness. If your eye sees clearly, you're filled with light. You say, preacher, what does it mean to see clearly? It means to see through the materialism of this time of year. Now, folks, I'm going to be frank. Good Christian people sometimes get so caught up in the possessions and the gift-giving that the season has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we wouldn't do it any other time of year, but somehow we get swept away in what the retailers call the Christmas spirit. To sum this part up, Jesus said at verse number 24 at the end, he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon means money. You cannot serve both. Your goals in life are either to make money or to serve God. Now, may I say this? Money's not wrong. And I'm glad for everyone in this room who has succeeded. And the Bible gives certain principles about a work ethic and about saving money that will help to lead you to success financially. Money is not wrong. But when it becomes the goal, that is wrong. The goal is not making money. The goal is not having things. The goal must be serving Christ from a full heart. I'm glad to know of a particular individual who over the last few years has become my friend. I'm not going to name him from the pulpit, but it's a particular man I know in a distant state from here. He is a Christian businessman. He is an extremely successful Christian businessman. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, that's wonderful. He must consume it all upon himself. No, this man is an extremely successful Christian businessman who has taken his financial success and has turned it into a ministry. The extent of the ministry I've only learned in recent days. But for the last several years, this particular individual, he's a reader. He loves to read books. He reads books all the time. Excellent, good Christian books and conservative political books. He reads books, and when he reads a book he likes, he'll send me a copy. And this happens probably almost on a monthly basis. I think it was last week I received a whole package of books and other Christian material from this man. And he'll send me a copy. I thought, oh, what a blessing. This Christian businessman, he reads these things, sends them to me. I read them. You have benefited from them. They've helped in my preaching and teaching ministry. I thought, oh, what a blessing. And only recently did I find out that I am one of 400 pastors who is on this man's mailing list. Only recently did I find out that this man has a full-time hired staff member to take care of his ministry to pastors across the nation. But let me say something. This man is doing exactly what Jesus said we ought to do. He is using his financial gain to minister. He is taking money as a tool and is multiplying the kingdom of God and the work of the kingdom. He's multiplying the kingdom of God in this earth by using his money as a tool to help minister to preachers and to inform them, to help keep pulpits across America aflame. And here is a Christian businessman who said, God has blessed me with some financial means. Now I'm going to use this for God's work. Thank God for that. Don't you this Christmas time get so consumed with the spending and the materialism that you forget about God's work. So number one hint, don't become consumed with materialism. Number two, don't become overly concerned with holiday preparations. Look at verse number 25, please. Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor for the body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Now, this is not to say you shouldn't decorate. If you want to decorate, decorate. I love the seasonal decorations. This is not to say that you shouldn't wear your pretty seasonal sweater. If you have one, wear the thing and enjoy it. All of those things are fine. But do you know, there are people in this room who become stressed over preparation for the holiday. Folks, hear me, please. Reality check. That takes all the enjoyment right out of the thing. It wrings the joy from the holiday. Oh, Pastor, we've got so much we've got to do. We've got to put up the tree. We're going to do our tree. Ours is in a box in the basement. Of course, if it didn't get hit the last time the basement flooded, I don't know what happened. You used to preach, do you love? I do the lights. How many men do the lights? You know what? I wish I had a pre-lit Christmas tree. I really do. Nothing's more miserable. You see, on our Christmas tree, the top half always has lots of lights. It's really, really heavy on the lights. But then we run out of strings. And so the bottom half is a little skimpy. Does everyone know what I'm saying? There's a twinkle light here, twinkle light there. Then after you've done that, it takes an hour to get them all straight. The wife comes into the room. Ha! Oh, that's beautiful, honey. You've done a great job. Why don't you have any lights on the bottom? You have to unwind it, redo the whole thing. I've got no problem with the Christmas decorations, but hear what Jesus said here. Do not take the preparation and make it such a stress that you're miserable. There are some people who put so much work into one day, which they've extended into 31 now, but into one day, that they're absolutely miserable by the time that moment rolls around. Do you know, folks, that stress is not a good Christmas gift? And if you're stressed out, you're passing it to other people. The celebration is fine, but becoming stressed out over it is disobedience because you're taking excessive thought to certain preparations for the holiday, and Jesus said that is not where the focus ought to be. He said your life is more than the clothing you wear. It is more than the food you eat. It is more than the preparation that you make. In other words, keep it all in perspective and don't go overboard with holiday preparations. You say, preacher, what's a good barometer? Well, if we spend more time decorating the Christmas tree, here goes. You ready for this? You don't want to hear this, do you? If we spend more time decorating the Christmas tree than we do trying to win the lost to Jesus Christ, our priorities are way out of focus. Life is more than decorations, and I'm in favor of decorations. I like them. This church will be decorated pretty here pretty soon for Christmas. I'm in favor of that. But where is the emphasis? Christian people do not have a vacation from God for the 30 days before Christmas comes on. Christian people ought to use this time of year as a platform to preach Christ, not to set Him aside and forget all about Him and become so involved in everything that we're pressured and we're stressed and we're running here and there and we've got all these preparations to make and we forget all about Christ. It's an overemphasis on the personal issues as opposed to the eternal. Jesus said our existence is more than that. Let me mention this. This holiday season, you're going to see lost loved ones. Now, please, please, I know you're going to prepare a lovely meal for them. Well, wasn't Thanksgiving good? If yours was as good as mine, you'd be wearing your fat clothing too. I'm telling you, it was bountiful. It was wonderful. Hey, and you know what? I know the ladies of this church. You're going to fix some meal for Christmas that's going to be out of this world. But between now and then, let's think about the people we're preparing the meal for. Do they know Christ? That's the key issue. Oh, Pastor! Don't tell me you're expecting me to bring up religion on Christmas! Think about what you just thought. Actually, it was my thought. I gave it to you. Yes. It is the best platform for preaching Christ. Every person in this room who has guests coming from out of town or folks that you don't regularly see and you don't know if they're Christian or not, every person in this room, you ought to start praying now. Sure, check the Meyer circular to see if turkey's going to go on sale for 20 cents a pound. By the way, if it did, I'd be suspicious of that turkey. You might pick up a good case of avian flu. Keep that away. Pay for, you get what you pay for when it comes to turkey. Believe you me, some old buzzard from last year that's been frozen for a long time. 20 cents a pound. Check the circulars. Get the best deal you can. But hear me about this. Every day between now and then, why not pray for those lost people who are going to come to your home? Does everyone understand what I'm saying here? I'm saying use the holiday season as a platform for the gospel. Do not become so concerned with personal appearance issues, the raiment we're going to wear, with preparation issues, the food we're going to eat, that eternity is set aside. And when Christmas is said and done, you had on a nice Christmas sweater and you ate a nice meal, but the people sitting at your table have come and gone and they're still on their way to hell without a witness from the Word of God. Don't allow that to happen this holiday season. Driving in the car, traveling, of course, we heard a lot of talk radio. And Dr. Laura was on. And I like to listen to Dr. Laura. Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't. And I always think she answers the questions way too quick. I always think she does that. The Bible says you need to hear a matter before you answer it. Dr. Laura jumps on something. A lady called and she said to Dr. Laura, she said, my husband's ill with me because I refuse to go to a wedding out in California. And she said, the reason I refuse to go to a wedding out in California to see family and friends, it's not because I don't like the bride and groom. It's not because we don't have the money. That's not the problem at all. She said, the reason I won't go is I'm too fat. I'm telling you what, I will not repeat the things Dr. Laura said, but she jumped on that. And you know, she was right. The truth of the matter is, this woman was so consumed with her personal appearance. And she began to argue back to Dr. Laura. She said, Dr. Laura, if I go, why, I know those people. All they're going to do is make fun of me and call me names. What kind of friends do you have? That never happens. That just never happens. Consumed with how she'd look. Now listen to me. Do your best to look your best. But Christian, there's something more than the clothing we wear and the food we eat. And that applies to the next 31 days as well as it did to the last 31 days as we're thinking of Christmas. Don't become overly concerned with holiday preparations. Number three, hint for a happy holiday. Here we go. Number three, don't become like the world. Drop down and look at verse 32. The parentheses at verse 32, Jesus said, having spoken of food and raiment and materialism, Jesus said, for after all these things, do the Gentiles seek, those who do not know God. Do not become like the world. Now, at the end of the verse, Jesus said this, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. God knows that we need food. God knows that we need clothing. God knows that we need shelter. He knows we have need of these things. But when we put the emphasis on those and ignore the things eternal, that is when we disobey what Jesus had to say. And so at verse 32, he said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Don't become like the world during the holiday season. Do not fight over stuff. Unbelievable to me that people are so on edge that they could fist fight in front of a Walmart, or that they would be in vicious competition to reach the Vegematic. Pastor, it's the last one on the shelf, and there's nothing that chops veggies finer than the Vegematic, and it was gone. The things we allow to ruin our day. Honest truth of the matter is this. If we become like the world, we can't be a witness to this world. Do you know that? You cannot knock somebody down in a store aisle to get the last box of cherry cordials. Aren't those wonderful? My mother gave me, that's probably my favorite candy in the world. My mother gave me a box of those for Thanksgiving. I ate the first tray last night. Wonderful. There's two trays. Wonderful. Hey, do you know what's really good? How many want to know what's really good? Limited edition Hershey Kisses with the cherry cordial juice inside of them. You go up here to Walgreens. Not CVS. CVS is a liquor store. You go up to Walgreens and buy you a big bag of those. It'll change your life if you eat them all. Hey, these things are wonderful. But if we knock somebody down in the aisle at Walgreens, like after this church service, if we knock somebody down to get it, we have lost our opportunity to witness. We, as Christian people, have the very best opportunity to celebrate Christmas because we know Christ. But our Christian testimony must be fully part of our Christmas celebration, 100%. Don't become like the world. I remember talking one time to a young man that I knew years ago. We were about the same age. And he went to a different church. He was of a different denomination. Saved young man. His dad happened to be the pastor of that church. It was a large denominational church. Happened to be the pastor of that church. We were talking, and he said, Mark, I can't wait till Christmas. And I said, I can't wait either. I love Christmas. I said, what do you like about Christmas, so-and-so? And he said, well, on Christmas Day, or Christmas Eve, one of the two, he said, on Christmas Day, it's the only day during the whole year that my dad allows us to drink. Now, he was a pastor. This man was a pastor. And I said, what? He said, oh yes. He said, every Christmas we buy a big jug of wine. And he said that we have a special celebration, just our family at our house, and we drink the whole thing. The pastor's kid. I said, let me get this straight. You celebrate the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of the world. Your dad's a pastor, and you celebrate His birth by going on a drunk? No sense at all. Christians, let me encourage you about something. You don't celebrate Christmas like the world. Hey, Pastor, you don't understand the business community. Why? In the business world, there's going to be a business party, and we will be... it's just a social thing to tip the bottle a little bit at the company Christmas party. What a rotten testimony if you do. You're not going to hear this at every church in Hendricks County, by the way. There's a lot of places where the preachers are tipping it themselves somewhere on Christmas Eve. Let me tell you, Christian people, you who love God, you who want to serve God, you who want to have a clean testimony, your testimony will be shot if you stand around at some makeshift bar at a company Christmas party and booze. It'll be shot. Merry Christmas. It needs to be said. We live in a society that has pressured Christian people. Oh, Pastor, I'll be so uncomfortable. No, you won't. Couldn't you just once stand up for the Lord Jesus? Couldn't you look at that person and say, you know, I don't drink because I'm a Christian. I know Jesus as my Savior. The true meaning of Christmas is in my heart. I've been born again by the Spirit of God, and I don't need that to feel good. Wouldn't that be a testimony? All I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is this, that the way we celebrate Christmas ought not be like the world. Here's one. It's easy to aim on man that last one, but here's one. Don't be like the world. Don't go into debt. Now, I'm be frank about this, folks. Well, Pastor, you know, it's just the American way. It shouldn't be the Christian way. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. How about paying cash for everything you buy for Christmas? Pastor, you don't understand. My kid wants a $900 blah, blah, blah. Help us. Help us. Christian folks, listen. Look at that checkbook realistically. The Bible's not in favor of this heavy indebtedness that enslaves us. Look at your checkbook realistically, and if you can't afford it, cut down on the size of the gift. Since when did we think to make people happy we have to spend $1,000 on them? And by the way, to do that with our kids is to indulge them painfully and probably harm them greatly in the future. I'm not saying don't buy them something. You should. You should get them a gift, something within reason, but certainly something you can afford. Well, Pastor, the kids down the block, you should see the go-kart they got. Fully motorized, that thing could run in the Indy 500. Wonderful for the kids down the block. But Mom and Dad, there is a December 26th. And isn't it amazing how quickly they get the bills out right after Christmas? It's like the companies say, we're going to get our bill there first because those people didn't have that kind of money. They're going to pay up everybody else. We don't want to be left. So boom, 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 the bill is there. Here it is. Merry Christmas. I'm just saying this. Christian people, if you don't have it, don't spend it. We don't need to be like the world. Now, this is very practical advice. We don't need to be like the world. If we don't have it, we don't spend it. And on we go. Let me give you the last one real quick. Do not lose sight of priorities. Happy hint for the holiday. Do not lose sight of priorities. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't just keep Christ in Christmas, but make Him Christmas. He is the priority. What took place on Christmas, what we celebrate, what we commemorate, the birth of Christ in Bethlehem's manger, that is the priority. Make soul winning a priority throughout the holiday season. Do you know what an opportunity you have, folks? You who go to Walmart? Walmart employees were told that they can only say happy holidays. Okay, that just drives me nuts. By the way, pause. Always pause. Don't let anyone get by with that happy holidays stuff, okay? Pause and say Merry Christmas. Have gospel tracts in your pocket and explain to them what Christmas means and hand them a gospel tract and say, this is the birth of Christ, and this little gospel tract can show you what Jesus did for you when He died on the cross. He not only was born in Bethlehem's manger, but He died on the cross. Make that the priority. Every Christian in this room, you will have opportunity after opportunity. Pastor, I'm in too big of a hurry. If I don't get back to the back of the grocery store, they'll be out of pickled herring. No, they won't. As wonderful as that is, there's going to be plenty for me and the other person in this town that buys it. Take that moment to tell somebody about Christ. Encourage folks with the gospel during this time. Make the holidays a platform for the gospel. Listen to this. Here's an idea. Some of you have already sent out your Christmas cards. It's you people that make me nervous. Just kidding. You can do, take your Christmas cards this year and put a gospel tract in every one of them. That's not going to hurt. You put a picture of the kids. Some of you put a picture of the dog. And we are concerned about how the dog's doing from year to year. Don't misunderstand me. He's on our family prayer list. Some of you write the big Christmas letter. You ever do that? My wife has asked me to do that time and time again. I somehow forget every year. Take a gospel tract, slide it in that Christmas card. Give someone the true meaning of Christmas. Make it a platform for Christ. All I'm saying is this, folks. Eternity is far more important than the moments and the celebrations and the temporal things that pass by. And some of them come together. We don't even remember one from the other half the time. But wouldn't it be a Christmas if somebody that you love or you're close to trusted Christ as their Savior because you took time for eternity and not just time. One day, everything about this world, all of its greenery, all of its tinsel, all of its sparkle, all of its shine, all of the joyful music that's played in the holiday season, all of the things that thrill our hearts, one day that's all going to be wrapped up and done away with. All that will matter is the people that have come to Jesus Christ. Keep your focus right this holiday season. Let's pray. Father, I pray you take our thoughts today and help us to guard ourselves in a time of the year when it is tempting, Lord, to get so caught up in things that eternity becomes of little consequence. And Lord, the opportunities that we'll squander and sometimes not even recognize because we're so busy with the season that we forget about the emphasis. Father, help us to obey the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, not just 11 months out of the year, but in this month of the year coming when we think of our Savior's birth. Help those to be the guiding principles by which we'll live. And Father, help us to prioritize matters of eternity. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.